So Romans 5, and we're going to start right at verse 1. It's not a very long read. I titled my sermon this evening called The Way of Hope. I think sometimes we need to understand that there is hope in God, and it's very, very important that we grasp this hope. Because without this hope, I think we drift around through life, and we just we go through life as if it's just one experience after the other, and we let life toss us around rather than grabbing a hold of life and grabbing even a hold of the tough times in life and allowing it to do what God intended it to do, which is to drive us homeward, closer to Him, closer to His kingdom. And so as we look at the Word tonight in Romans 5, we're going to be looking more at the tribulation aspect of life than those joyous times of life. So verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. That exalt is we have victory in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. We have victory in our tribulations. This is the word of God that's giving you this. We have victory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Lord, I pray your blessing on your word. Lord, I pray that it stirs in us, Lord, something, Father, that as we go through these hard times in our lives, that we know that you are building your kingdom even through our trials. And we just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you've not yet gone through a trial in your life that has tested you to the core of your being, you will. You live long enough, you are going to go through those trials of life that are going to cause you to question everything. And it's important, I think, actually, and I know some would disagree with me, but I believe that it's important that you go through those kinds of trials. Peter went through it. And we'll talk more about Peter. But Peter wrote this verse. Beloved, do not, and he's speaking to Christians, by the way, when he says that, beloved. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. This came from the lips of Peter after his great trial. We all know that he denied Christ, and he was just totally crushed because he honestly thought he would never do that. And he did the very thing he thought he'd never do. He failed miserably. And he says to the believers, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal among you. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble. But you know what? As we look at these scriptures and we say, oh boy, this is so negative. I want you to understand that God gives a promise to Christians, specifically to Christians in Romans 8:28, that those trials that you go through, even though they're going to be hard, even though they're going to test your very being, they're going to bring something good out of Romans 8:28. I have a hunch Dan's already on it. Romans 8:28. Dan, why don't you read it for us?
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose.
We know. It's not maybe it'll happen. It's not there's a chance that if you do everything right, it's going to come together. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's nothing that's going to happen to you, whether it be through your own personal failure or whether it be through something that you have absolutely no control over. Everything that happens to you, God has promised you, because you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has promised you that He is going to take that thing and He is going to use you in that thing. He's going to cultivate you in that thing. And something good is going to come out of it. No, that is not a good thing. No, when we mess up and we fail, it's not good. But that doesn't mean God's done with us. And no, when something bad happens, God didn't cause it to happen so he could do this. It's that he will bring these things together for you, a Christian, and bring good out of it. And we have that promise. And if we don't learn this fact, we could go through our trials. We could get very bitter against God. We could blame God for all the hardships. And God, you promised to make everything good for me. He didn't promise you that. He didn't promise you that everything in your life is going to be rosy every day of your life. And in fact, if you believe that, you've watched too much Disney. And even in Disney, there's tribulation before the victory. Amen? You see, this process that we see here in Romans 5 starts with tribulation. So you're going to have tribulation in your life. Well, how does this process get started? Well, we have the tribulation that produces perseverance. And this is kind of an analogy that I debated whether I should share or not, but I'm going to share it anyway, because it was funny. It was actually quite funny. I was watching a show, and there's a fellow, and he was a secret agent, and he had messed up really bad, and so he went to stay at the monks, and the monks were going to teach him how to take the blows. And so they tied a rope around his neck, and he had to drag a rock behind him from between his legs. And every time you see him, he says, oh, 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 oh. And then they give him a bigger rock, and then a bigger rock. And pretty soon he's dragging a big boulder, and he's built up some strength, some perseverance. And now he can take the hits. The idea of perseverance is not a welcome one to believers or to anybody. If I said you're going to have to go through this, and it's going to be a journey, you're going to get a little bit sad about that. Because you know what we like? We like instant solution. We don't want to get perseverance. We don't want to build up that stamina. It's too much like work. I want you to have a balanced approach when you look at tribulations. Now, there are some tribulations that you're going to go through that God is going to absolutely come through. And there's going to be this extreme, wonderful miracle. And in that miracle, you're going to see God just bring the answer. And it's going to be swift and it's going to be wonderful. I often think of when my dad had the heart attack. And I got the phone call while I was at work. And I immediately went to pray. And when I went to pray, God said, I'm going to take care of this for you. And so when I got to the hospital, and our family was gathered and we prayed for my dad. My dad was miraculously healed right there. Miraculously healed. And God had said he was going to take care of this. And it was quick. The trial was in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. By 9 a.m. the next morning, we were all praising and rejoicing in the Lord. That was not a trial that required perseverance. But then later on, when my dad got cancer, and I prayed, and God gave me a word that he was going to take my dad home, that was a trial that required perseverance. And I knew God wasn't going to give me the fast answer. I knew God was going to take my dad home. You see, not every answer is going to be like, here, hallelujah, praise God. You know what? I still say hallelujah, praise God through that trial. I still say hallelujah, praise God, because God's will was done. There have been trials in my life that have been painful but short, and there have been trials that have seemingly had no end. When Dan and I got married, we wanted to have children right away. Right away. That was exciting for us. We could hardly wait. We loved children, both of us. And in fact, we had to wait 10 years before we got blessed with our first child. Anyone tell you that believers shouldn't have problems, because if they have problems, they're lacking in faith? They need to come to Romans 5 and look at this big ugly word called perseverance. Persevering under the trial. And life is going to throw trials at you that have no easy fixes. Some of them you're going to have gotten yourself into, and some of them are just going to happen to you. But for the believer, you can be certain that if you hold fast to your faith, God will develop something strong in you, something very powerful. I mentioned about this analogy of the martial arts, but my brother-in-law, he's a karate instructor, and I remember he used to punch himself in the stomach to build up the strength so that, see, when they go into a fight in karate, it's not just about getting the hits, it's about taking the hits. You got to be able to give them and take them. And if you can go into a fight and you can deliver 10 hits, but one hit and you're down, you're going to lose the fight. There's another part of this perseverance training, and it's building up your stamina so you don't get weak in the fight, so you don't get halfway into the fight and you're all out of breath and you're tired. So you have to have perseverance. You have to be able to take the hits. You have to be able to stand there for the long time, and you have to endure without giving up. And in life, it's the same thing. We have to take the hits. We have to stand firm, and we have to endure without giving up. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. 6:13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Sometimes you can do everything right, and it's still not going your way. You have to be able to stand firm, and that means stand firm in your convictions. Stand firm in your faith. Don't give up. Don't quit on God. Don't decide that God's ways are not getting you anywhere. You got to go and do it your own way and leave God's way out of it. It's important that we have perseverance. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. And James 1:12 gives you this, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the process started with tribulation, and tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces proven character. I know from my own life experience that tribulation can really reveal your true character. I remember when I was just saved, and I was trying to clean up my life, and bad words rolled off my tongue fairly easily back in those days. I remember I was running down the stairs, and I fell, and I tripped over a shoe, and I broke my toe. And as I sat on the floor at the bottom of the stairs, I wanted to say a bad word, but I wouldn't. And I resisted this urge to say the bad word. And I was so proud of myself that I didn't swear when I broke my toe. And I thought, well, see, this trial proved that God had done a work in me. Right there was evidence. The book of Job is a really good example of character being revealed when there was a tribulation. Here we have Satan, and then this one kind of makes us a little nervous, I think. It does me anyway. He goes before God and basically says, yeah, you see Job? Yeah, look at him. You know why Job does everything right? You know why Job serves you so well? You know why Job doesn't break the commandments? You know why Job does the tithing and all that stuff? You know why he's like that? God, because you bless him. You've given him everything he ever wanted, but you take that away. And buddy, I tell you what, Job will curse you. God said, no. No, he won't. And so trials came upon Job. His children were wiped out. His livestock was wiped out. His servants were murdered by an invading marauders. And Job was distressed. I mean, think about it. If you lost all your children, you would be distressed. And Job was distressed. And it says in all of this, in Job 1:22, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. He did not sin, nor did he blame God. His character was revealed. So Satan says, yeah, well, you still got him his health. That's why. So then his health was attacked. And Job's answer to that, when his wife said, why don't you just curse God? Why don't you just curse God and die? Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? That was Job's answer. Can we expect God to give us everything we want and then not accept any kind of trouble in our life? In all this, the Bible says, Job did not sin with his lips. Proven character. Well, sometimes our character flaws are revealed in our tribulations just as much as our strengths. We find out in those times of trial that we are not so great and strong as we thought we were. You remember Peter, and I mentioned it already, in the garden, and Jesus is saying that they're all going to leave him and betray him. And Peter was passionate, and all of them were, to be honest with you, it says that they all were. But Peter, especially, the Bible focuses in on him, and he's passionate, said, I'll die for you. I would never deny you. I'm ready for anything. And Peter was even kind of annoyed by the looks of it, that God would even suggest that he would deny him. And Jesus said, you're not just going to deny me, but before, like, the day is through, here, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Not just once, three times. And Peter is just like, really? But here's the advice Jesus gave Peter. Pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Peter was willing to take on this trial all in the flesh. He didn't realize that his spirit was not being nurtured in God. And so Peter was focusing on what he could do and not what God could do through him. Well, we know that Peter denied Jesus 3 times that night, and he went, and the Bible says he wept bitterly. He grieved over his sin. He grieved because he completely blew it. He completely blew it. And Jesus actually turned and looked at him. And then he had to watch Jesus die on that cross. He didn't have a time to get this thing reconciled with Jesus. And Peter came to the end of himself, and he realized that within his own self, he was a pretty weak dude. And I think sometimes when we go through a trial, we're disappointed in ourselves. We wish we'd have done better. I know there's times when that has happened, and it grieves me. And I have to go to the Lord and say, God, I failed here. We have to deal with this. Now, I mentioned Job and Peter for a reason. I think in everyone in this room, there's Job. I think that there is things that you will hold on to, your integrity in your being that you will hold on to in every trial. And you will be strong. But I think there's Peter in every one of you too, because I happen to think that every person has their own weaknesses. And when those weaknesses are revealed, we're disappointed in ourselves. We don't hold up under the pressure like we thought we will. And we sin. We think we're awesome, and then we're thrown in a complete tailspin. And I was recently with somebody and at the retreat, actually just this weekend, there was a gal there, and she was saying, oh, Judy, you're just like so important to me. And she started saying really wonderful things and about me, and oh, you know, I just look up to you so much. And I all of a sudden I just felt so awful. And I looked at her and I says, please do not put me on a pedestal. I am not all that you think I am. If you see anything good in me, it's Christ. But I am not Christ. Look to him. He's the only one that's going to do it for you. I warn you that people are going to let you down. Everybody, Dan said, everybody eventually will let you down. And he's right. If you're looking at people, you're looking at the wrong thing. You got to get your eyes higher. And look only to Christ, because everybody is going to hurt you. Eventually, everybody's going to let you down. Jesus said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to just touch on something here, and it's something that I hear once in a while with people who struggle with sin in their life. They say, I pray and I pray and I pray and I still sin. Nothing changes. And when I hear that, at first I didn't understand it. At first I was sort of thrown off by that. And I'm just, well, why wouldn't anything change? That's how we overcome. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you see, if that is happening, there's something wrong right there with your prayer life. If you're going down into your prayer life and you think you're going to pray and pray and pray and nothing's going to change, James says you've already spoken into place. If you believe that your prayer is doing nothing, it's going to do nothing. We have to pray with faith, believing that God is faithful to his word. We have to pull out those scriptures that said God will deliver you out of that temptation. And we have to hold on to God's word. We can hold God accountable to his word. Because I'm going to tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, God is faithful to his word. We get drawn away when our eyes are off of God and on the things of the flesh. That's when we fall. And so if you're really genuinely praying to God to help you, believe that he's going to do it. Grab onto his word. No, that doesn't mean you're going to perfect in the one day. It is a struggle. And we struggle against sin in the flesh all the days of our life. Yes, but that does not mean that nothing is happening and nothing is going to happen. Learn the word of God. Pray the word of God. Believe the word of God. And he will act on your behalf. And as you experience God answering prayer, as you see Him developing things in you, developing wisdom in you, you're going to be changed. Sometimes we set ourselves up to fall. Should an alcoholic go sit in a bar? Absolutely not. And we set ourselves up and we put ourselves in the very physical position to fall into sin, and we fall every time because we walked right in. The Bible says if sin is in the east, go west, young man. Go west. Go the opposite direction. You have to fight this thing. Proven character. I had to tell you, my own life, that trials don't only just expose my character, but they have developed my character. Through miscarriages and the loss of loved ones, I've learned about grief, and I've learned to have compassion on people who are hurting. Through sickness, I learned to be patient and compassionate for people who are sick. And through my failure and sin, I've learned to be patient and compassionate and even able to give some instruction on how to fight that sin. Through struggling with my own personal guilt that led me to turn away from God, I've learned how to use scripture and how to fight the enemy and put on that breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and be delivered from the attacks of the enemy that would use my guilt to lead me away from God. And through my parenting experiences, through my mistakes, through my struggles, I've learned to help young mothers. And everything that you've gone through the things that you've failed at, through the things you've succeeded at, you've learned something and proven character. God is developing in you a character. You see, we sometimes think that we cry and God just doesn't see it because we feel so miserable. When I tell you what, at those times we're usually a little bit more wrapped up in ourselves. We're not as spiritual as we could be. And God, He's compassionate. He's watching you cry and He's crying with you. It's the Bible says in Psalms that He keeps your tears in a bottle. He doesn't waste your tears. He doesn't leave you to figure it out when you've blown it. He went back to Peter and he talked to Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. He made Peter say that 3 times because Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus wanted to draw Peter to where he needed to be. Did he say, Peter, are you going to do that again? No, God, I won't. Maybe I will. I don't know. He didn't do that. He didn't put Peter on the spot of addressing Peter's ability in the flesh. Did he? He said to Peter, do you love me? You see, what Jesus was trying to do when he's developing this character in Peter, this character that's going to help him to persevere, is he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter needed to get his eyes on Jesus, on the Spirit, and off the flesh and its weakness. That's why he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. That's why he said that. He didn't want Peter to remember what the flesh can do and what it can't do. Peter wasn't even sure if he could pull it off. And then Peter grabbed onto it. Proven character produces hope. And the Bible says, hope does not disappoint. If you don't have that underlined, you sure should. Hope does not disappoint. This is more than a fruit that is developed through the process of tribulation. I believe it's purposeful and it's deliberate that we develop hope. It's something that we deliberately do when we put our eyes on Jesus. We are developing hope. You learn one day that you're not going to get it all. You're not going to have all joy. But you learn to trust God through your trials. Your understanding shifts. And it's not about the trial that you're going through anymore. It's about how you go through the trial. Can I say that again? It's not about the trial you're going through, but how you go through the trial. That's what's important. And that's where hope is. You see, hope directs us. What is your hope in? You know, if you're coming into town late and you got to stop and get gas and you're driving in and you're hoping that the gas station's going to be open, you're going to drive to the gas station that you think is going to be open. It's directing where you go. If that one's closed, then you try to go to something else. But the Bible says hope does not disappoint. If your hope is in God, that's the direction you're going to be going. And that's what you're going to be directing all your efforts into, is getting you closer to God. Romans 8, 24 and 25 say this. For by hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it with perseverance, it says there. Powerful. This sounds a lot like Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Again, we have this. We're not getting the answer here. We're persevering. Hebrews 11:13, all these died in faith. And this is a list of people who have seen incredible miracles. Some of them didn't get miracles, but they suffered for Christ incredibly and lost everything. And yet they're considered in this Hall of Fame of Faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it says this, and these died in faith without receiving the promise. But having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. See, they didn't think that this was where they're going to get their best answers, not on this earth. They're looking for something up higher. They're looking forward to heavenly kingdom. It's not about the trial they were in, it's how they went through the trial. And they stayed true to God even when they went through that hard time. Hebrews 11:38 says that men of whom this world was not worthy, they were so incredible, they weren't even worthy to be in this world. We hope for things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But our true hope belongs in God. There's a very important truth, a fact that we just can't allow to escape our notice. You're never going to experience fullness of joy while you're here on earth. And that is an absolute fact. There's always going to be something that you need or want, or a person that is upsetting you. Something is always going to be wrong, because this is not a perfect world. And the heroes of the faith that are mentioned in Hebrews, they didn't put their hope in this world. They knew that there was something so much better, and that is their eternity with God. They realized that this world is never going to satisfy them. What they really needed, what they really wanted, was going to come from God. It becomes about an eternity issue at this point. And they were able, these men of faith, to endure incredible hardships, demonstrating profound faith and depth of character, because they were after God. They were desiring fullness of God in their journey. That was just what they had to go through to get there. Their goal was not on earth. And sometimes we lose fact of the fact that we're eternal beings. You see, this isn't all it. This is in the short term. But you are eternal people. Everyone in this room has an eternity. Every single one of you. And you're on a journey to your eternity. Now, your eternity may be heaven and your eternity may be hell, but you're on a journey towards that eternity. So we need to figure out where it is we're going if we're going to make sure we get there. And I think it's important that when we go through sufferings here on earth, that we remember that this is not our eternity. It is a part of it, because you're going to live forever. But what you live here on earth is short. Even if you lived a very long life, your time here on earth is very short. And even though it looks like we're going to endure for years to come a hardship, and that may be the case, it's still short in light of eternity. And I would encourage you tonight not to buckle and fall into sin, and get your eyes on your trials, get your eyes on the here and now. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your eternity. Because I'll tell you what, either way, you're going to live forever. And if you give up on God, your eternity is in hell, according to the scriptures. You need to keep your eyes on your goal. There's different levels of hope. There's hope for today, and there's hope for our future. And I think we need to have both. I need to have God with me every minute. We sang that song, I need thee every hour. I need thee, O God, I need thee. You know, I need him every minute of every day. But I need him in my eternity too. And so my hope is for here today, for God to be with me here today, but it's also for me to be with him for eternity. When we do that, it affects our behavior. as we realize that sin takes us off course. You spot it. And if your goal is earthly with no thought about a God or eternity, what keeps you from sinning? There's nothing. If you're not worried about God, there's nothing to stop you from sin. Where we put our hope is crucial to process of how we go through trials. Are we looking ahead to eternity? And the process starts with tribulation. And tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces proven character. And proven character produces hope. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Lord, I just pray for everyone in this room tonight. And Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will encourage us. And while we just take a moment, I want everyone in the room to please bow your head. And if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Judy, I need to get my eyes back on Jesus. I just want you to slide your hand in the air. I'm just going to pray for you right where you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's very important that we remember who we serve. And if you're here tonight and you're going through a trial, I want you to take the words that Jesus said, what he said to Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I would encourage you tonight that we're going to have a little time of prayer. I'm going to go to the piano, and I'm going to encourage you to come forward and just put it before the Lord. I know some of you are young, but I'm going to tell you what. My life has taught me one thing, and that is that prayer is the most important thing you can do when you go through a trial. You have to learn to pray and believe that God will get you an answer, because he will. He will answer. I've seen some incredible miracles, and I know that I'm going to see more. I know. And I know that when you pray in faith believing, you're going to see miracles too. I've seen God move judges that were set to send someone to prison. And one time we prayed and the heart of the judge was moved. I've seen people delivered from incredible bondage of drugs, of alcohol. God has the power to deliver. So while I play at the piano, Pastor Dan is going to meet you at the altar.